dinner with this other family.
Oh gosh, good.
And their daughter's the same age as Sophia, so about 4 years old, and they had just learned to not knock jokes.
Sure.
Oh no, they did this all night long ago.
For like 10 minutes straight. Uh-huh. It was Alright, you gotta do the joke with me. You ready?
Okay, ready.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting car.
Interrupting car who?
Beep. That's what she did for 10 minutes straight. Like, and we keep saying, "No, no, you've got to do it sooner." Didn't matter. She gets. It was great.
We do interrupting cow.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I did interrupting cow back to her, and she didn't get it.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday. This is Patrick Nazaroff back in the studio.
Welcome back, Patrick.
Thank you.
We missed you last.
This is the first time that we're all here together in 2020.
Yes, and with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing?
And Katie Phillips.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. There you go.
Katie's both. Already mentally in Disney World. Don't
yes.
worry about it. It's fine.
Disneyland.
Oh, sorry.
Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Yes.
This is the first time we are back in the studio in 2020. You guys did a great job without me last week.
Oh, thanks.
I was home taking care of a sick baby.
Yeah.
But he's doing much better now.
Excellent.
Yes.
All is well that ends well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tough. We were...
Some things are well that don't end well. That's
He's reached a point as a family. We were just saying, like, all right, we don't want that TV really on around him anymore because all he does is stare at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, watching him all day by myself. I'm like, well, forget this. I'm gonna watch a movie. Timmy will just get over it. Like, I'll watch it together with him, and I'll play with him while we watch it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I was definitely holding William the other day while he was sick, and I was also watching a movie with him. So yeah, that's fine.
You know,
I'm not like watching grotesque violence and stuff with him.
Yeah, so. I mean, he doesn't even know.
He wouldn't even know if you were.
We were watching Lord of the Rings, so that was our movie.
That's not science fiction. It's fantasy violence. It's different.
Sure. Yes. All right, let's get to our podcast today.
What have we been doing so far? What's been happening?
We're getting to the meat of the podcast.
Okay.
This has been
the meat and potatoes.
Yes,
this was the
salad. Yes, the what kind of salad? A house salad, Caesar salad. What
chef salad.
Chef salad.
Yeah, chef salad.
Iceberg.
Where I am.
Yes.
Yeah, if I'm in an Italian restaurant, Caesar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like a Caesar. Iceberg.
I like to go
or
to
wedge,
an Italian restaurant and
have
a Caesar salad. Yeah.
Go away.
I don't actually.
I have to taste their ranch before I get a house. Salad.
Well, you bring your ranch out?
I say, can you bring a side of ranch really quick? And Shane and I both taste it. And
like
then
with your finger?
It, then we get, or a fork. Just dip your fork in and taste it. If we like it, we get a house salad. And we don't.
Katie treats ranch like most people treat a bottle of wine.
You like, hold it up. Ooh, this is a...
Swirl the ranch around in your glass.
It's bad when you order a salad and you get really bad.
Let this
ranch
breathe a little bit.
It's like a thing.
Ranch does need to breathe. It needs to breathe out and far away from me.
All right, let's get to our news of the week.
All right, now we're back on track.
Katie, you are flying tomorrow.
Yeah, oh my gosh, are you going to say like a scary news thing?
No, it's not going to be scary.
Okay.
Sorry.
Shh,
no.
Okay, I'll tell you off mic. It's fine.
No, don't tell me off mic. I don't want to know. Wait till I come back.
Fine, don't worry
about it. Well, a thing that's happened. I don't know if you've
seen
this.
You're not flying over any mountains, are you? I'm just kidding.
Stop it. Okay.
You know, not many.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just the Rockies.
Yeah, a little southern part of the Rockies. You'll be fine.
Okay. Just go.
All right. JetBlue passenger. His pet possum gets him kicked off flight. He responds, "It's frustrating beyond belief."
Was this a emotional support possum?
I don't believe so.
I don't want to like mock emotional support animals, but I do kind of want to mock emotional support possums.
Yes, I also don't want to like. There's a legitimate need for many people for an emotional support animal.
Right.
Yes.
Most of the animals that are on flight are not that.
Yep.
And they are ruining it for the people who really actually
need
that.
Therein lies the problem. Yeah.
Yes. A California man claiming he was unfairly booted from a recent JetBlue flight over his pet possum after after airline employees reversed a prior promise and said the small marsupial could not travel with him for the second leg of his journey. Yes.
Wait, he got to travel for the first leg?
He flew from Golden State,
uh-huh.
San Francisco area to Austin, Texas, and he could not fly home.
All right, so I will grant him that if I got to fly one way, I'd be mad if I didn't get to fly back.
Yeah, for sure. You flew your possum one way, you'd want to be able to fly back with your possum.
I would be mad about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not a pet owner, so I don't really know.
Okay.
But...
You're not a pet possum owner?
No, but we have caught a possum before.
Okay, where'd you fly it?
We didn't fly it anywhere, but we left it in a bucket so we could all go and look at it. It was little, it was a baby.
Okay.
And then we released it. Anyway, When you have animals, when you travel with them, they go in the cabin with you?
Correct.
The
vast,
I don't know.
Vast majority of animals will fly in the cabin with you.
I sat next to a woman on our flight back from home. This is when I lost my phone. Maybe the dog took it. She had a dog with her on the flight.
Do you know it was a dog? Maybe it was a puppy.
In her lap?
No, it was a dog. I like saw it. Yeah. So some of the time the dog was like under in a little carrier, and some of the times the dog was in her lap. It was a little...
based on size, I'm sure.
Little tiny
like
yes.
it
carrier
could be
thing.
Like a
like,
yes,
retriever.
This was like the size of a rat. It was that size dog.
Awesome.
It was very quiet. She described it as an emotional support dog. I don't know what support it was providing, but that's what it was there
sure.
for.
Okay.
Yeah,
William became friends.
It is supposed to sit in a carrier underneath the seat in front of you. That's where it's supposed to go.
And if it does not fit there,
then
it goes under.
Our other arrangements need to be made, yes.
Oh.
Then it runs through the wilderness.
So
like
the possum would indeed fit under a seat.
I mean,
theoretically,
possum would,
yes. A possum would fit under there. All right, awesome possum, Zatara, was visiting Gerald, that's the pet owner's, for Thanksgiving, and was
Wait,
not able to
Gerald?
Talk. Our Gerald.
G-E-R?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Gerald.
Gerald.
I like Gerald, though. We're going to go with that. Gerald.
He called the Department of Transportation, cleared with them, cleared it with JetBlue. They said it was fine.
Ooh.
So Gerald is upset.
It seems like he has a reasonable
over
complaint.
Over Zatara, the awesome possum.
If he had been told that it was okay
and then
was
told
denied
that
at the gate, I would be mad about that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't think he should have ever been told it was okay.
But I also, yes. I also do not want to sit next to a dude in a possum
right.
on a plane.
They hiss. Like, they're like, they hiss at you.
Yeah, that's...
Nope.
Why don't you continue to do your possum impersonation for the quality podcasting?
And they're not pets. This is not a pet animal.
Yeah.
This is a dog or a cat. You'd be like, okay.
Anything's a pet if you love it, Patrick.
Okay, this is not a domesticated animal.
My husband wants a squirrel.
Okay.
Nope.
Once a squirrel?
Once a pet squirrel.
Go get one in California. Fly it on back.
Nope. We have squirrels here. Why would I need one in California?
So Zatara turned to social media after being rejected from JetBlue. Yes. Zatara the possum. Yeah, that's a possum, right?
Why did they black out its nose?
That's just printing after here.
Oh. It's like it's got a sensor bar across its nose. It's like,
all right, here we go. Guys, help. Hashtag bring Zatara home. Hashtag JetBlue. Let me fly from Long Beach Airport to Austin, Texas. And now they won't let me fly home. We boarded the plane to go home after a 30-minute delay, and a JetBlue employee had me get off the plane and said I couldn't fly.
So he had gone through security, and he got on the plane, and then they...
And at security, you do have to remove your pet from the carrier to go through.
So they saw it.
So possum. He carried a possum through security, yes. After 3 hours on the phone with JetBlue, they told me to rent a car and drive back to California. The crew at hashtag Long Beach and hashtag Austin all took pictures with me and loved me. And now they're trying to act like they don't know that I was a possum. There's pics of them holding me. I guess this is written from Zatara's personal Instagram account.
Yeah.
All I want to do is fly back home to California. Please pass this along and share with everyone. Help me fly home. Hashtag pets of Instagram. Hashtag pets. Hashtag Texas. Hashtag animal lovers. Hashtag fly. Hashtag home. Hashtag help.
Hashtag ouch.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So Zatara, did Zatara get home safely? Do we know?
Yeah, Zatara did. They booked another flight after 4 days through United.
And United.
Let them go.
And United let them go. And I've flown United. That makes sense. they'll throw any animals on there. You're good. Bring them on.
I was on a flight with a dog on United.
JetBlue, I've also flown, and it was a much nicer flight. So it also kind of makes sense. They're anti-possum on their...
I would not have thought JetBlue was going to be anti-possum. I would have figured JetBlue was like, you know, what's that book where all the kids are stranded on a desert island? Lord of the Flies. Yeah.
No, that's like Spirit Airlines, where there are no rules, and you have to pay for everything. Like,
yep.
Pay to carry on.
I thought JetBlue was the same thing.
No. JetBlue like was the first airline to have like... Wi-Fi in cabin. They had like personalized TVs on domestic flights and things like that. So they were trying to be a high class, classy place. That's what JetBlue was about. Yes.
You're new.
Yeah. So
apparently, but yes.
What do you think? Do you want to fly with your pets anywhere?
I don't have. No, my cat will not be flying with me anywhere.
Yeah. I think we should form our own airline that deals exclusively with people that want to fly with pets. Bring your pet, any animal you want, throw it on there.
Like,
you
know, an alpaca?
We can't possibly go bankrupt any faster than the rest of the airline, so...
Hey, look, here, it's a market. You know, like,
it's
people,
a market.
You got, I remember...
I'm not cleaning that plane.
No. You pay somebody to do that.
Okay.
We're the owners.
Okay. Or, you know, look, bring on your alpaca.
Not doing that.
We're the board.
Everybody signs a waiver. If that alpaca attacks your child, hey, you signed a waiver. It's deal. You deal with it.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to buy a seat for the alpaca?
I don't think this is going to be.
Maybe there's just no seats.
It's just open.
It's open.
Just a cargo plane.
Just hang out. Do what you like.
There are some.
There's some hay bales to maybe sit on or eat. You know,
some subway rail straps you can hold on.
Oh, okay, I like it. Yeah, you got like a.
Enjoy your 3.5 hour flight.
Well, you can sit Indian style on the floor or something like that.
Yep, for no turbulence.
A place to like just tie up your dog. You know,
exactly.
Things like that.
Okay.
You know, I like it. You know, or like some fake AstroTurf for bathroom breaks on mid-flight.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this is a place. Like, people who want to fly with their weirdo pets, well, where else are they going
to
go?
Didn't somebody try to fly with a peacock a while
they
back?
Did.
Uh-huh.
They
yeah.
were rejected. Peacock was not allowed on the plane. Their therapy peacock, not allowed.
Well, the therapy peacock would not fit under the seat in front of them. Peacocks are real big. Plus, you got that
How
plumage.
Are we getting to where... Lots of different kinds of animals are therapy animals.
Because you can go online and say,
Insanity.
This is my therapy animal, and then they send you a certificate. And like there are legitimate ways to go about this. I do not want to disparage this. There are legitimate animals who are trained for legitimate purposes.
Yes.
For people who need...
For sure.
And it's a wonderful,
Absolutely.
Beautiful
Love
thing.
It.
Then there are people
Why is there a peacock
who,
that's what... Like,
there
how
are people
is
who
that
own
a thing?
Peacock and say, I want to be able to travel with my peacock. And then they go online and some lunatic whatever thing will send them a certificate that says, yep, this is your therapy peacock. And then they can...
Interesting.
Take it wherever they want.
Okay.
Hey, that's what, look, if, we'll take your peacocks on our plane here, all right?
On our cargo plane.
On our cargo plane. Throw a peacock in the back. We're good. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do I get to fly this plane?
Yeah. Co-pilot. All
right.
You want a full licensed pilot at the front?
Do we? Why? Come on.
Fair enough.
At this point, I feel like the licensed pilot is like the least of our concerns.
He really is all pressing buttons.
Do you know how
now,
many
right?
fights you would have between animals in this plane?
That's why you lock the cabin door, so you know they're all
okay.
left alone,
they,
and the pilots stay up.
They signed a waiver.
They signed a waiver.
Yeah,
it's all about the waiver.
There you go. There's muzzles available. Maybe that's what you know. A flight attendant can bring down a muzzle, or like if there's turbulence, muzzles fall down. Secure yourself before your animal.
Please muzzle yourself before you muzzle your animal.
Yes. So it's all good.
I've flown with some adults who need to be muzzled.
There you go.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our real things of the podcast.
All right.
Yes. All right. So I have an article here. And you have an article, Pastor.
I do.
All right. So we each have articles. All right. I'm going to do mine first, though. So
I do not.
It's because Katie's already on vacation.
Yes. Okay. What's going on?
Yeah. If you've not heard, Katie will be leaving tomorrow for Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
the happiest place on earth.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, so if you want to rob her house, it will be empty.
Well, when the podcast is released, she's back.
Oh, yeah.
So.
True story. Uh-huh.
So don't bother.
Gotcha.
I'll bring some possums over
the
there for your kids.
We already have them. Did you not hear my story about catching one?
Yeah, but not, how many of them are living in your house?
Yeah, we'll give you a peacock.
Oh, yes. No, I'm good. I don't want anything living in my house.
Your kids need a therapy peacock.
All right, so this is out of Denver here. Denver Bishop upset over growing homeless camp outside church.
Mm. Okay.
All right, I sent you guys this article this mm-hmm. morning. Did you read it?
I read the headline.
I read the first couple of paragraphs.
First couple of paragraphs, all right. So I did my homework.
How would you
we
tell
really
us about the article?
I was driving. What do you want me to
wow,
read
Katie.
While driving? I can't read
you,
all of it.
What did you do when you got here to the office?
Worked.
Mm-hmm. You and I talked. 30 minutes.
We did.
Do you both really want to confess on the air that you're not working when you're supposed
we were,
to be?
We were talking. It was work-related.
Yes.
It was about
yes.
stuff.
Work stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
All right. Denver church leader said he's fed up with the number of homeless people camped out in front of his church.
All right. So Denver bishop. Bishop of what?
I don't know. It's Absolute Word Church. I know that.
Okay,
it does
not
go the denomination. So
he's a bishop like of a church that just makes anybody they want a bishop.
Potentially. So
yeah.
I can't say if he is a Catholic bishop. Lutherans have bishops, Episcopalians have bishops.
He's not a Lutheran bishop. I know the Lutheran bishop in Denver. He's not a Lutheran bishop.
Okay, there you go. Not a Lutheran bishop.
Yeah, not that guy.
Right. Not Jerry Diemer? No.
No, not it.
All right. Bishop Jerry Diemer has been leading Absolute Word Church at the corner of 24th and California for the past 6 years. He says there have always been homeless campers in the park across the street.
In California?
Denver.
Oh, okay.
Where did you get California?
24th and California. California is the name of the street that his church is on.
I'm like, what? I could have sworn I heard it.
I've been involved with feeding the homeless and clothing the homeless. That's been one of our ministries, so I have an appreciation for the homeless, he says. What I don't appreciate is for when you take over public property. All right, so Katie, you read probably up to here.
No, I kept reading.
Okay.
I kept reading. Because, I mean, my first take on this as I first started reading what mm-hmm. you had just read was, mm-hmm. I mean, like, isn't that our job to love
yeah.
the clothe the naked, feed the homeless, or the hungry, mm-hmm. take care of those less fortunate than ourselves?
Yes.
Right? So why are we not opening our doors and mm-hmm. letting them come in? And then I kept reading.
Yeah.
The next few paragraphs, which I found even more interesting. And I was like, oh, well,
yeah.
I couldn't. So we'll wait till we get there.
That's probably a similar journey as you, Katie, as we keep going. Initially, yeah, these things of like, how could somebody be upset about this? The homeless
right.
are right.
Sure.
You have a population right outside your church door
yes.
that has obvious needs, and you're a congregation that can
so
obviously
let's help
meet
them.
Those
yes,
needs.
Absolutely.
And that's a beautiful, powerful thing. You are right there on the forefront of ministry.
Yes.
I think that's an awesome thing. So I initially was a little frustrated with Bishop
yep.
Jerry, and probably similar to you. As I kept reading, my heart, at very least, softened toward
mm-hmm.
him. And not necessarily because of him, but because I'm trying to imagine myself
yes.
in a similar situation.
Yes.
So he goes on to say, when I came up this morning, they were all the way down the street, and the sidewalk was taken over with bikes and everything on it. I could not park here this morning. Still a little frustrated. Okay.
Right. Okay.
You can walk.
Like, you can
You're
walk,
fine.
Go around them. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Go ahead.
So Denver, similar to one of our Texas cities, Austin, has now made it legal to do public camping
mm-hmm.
on public space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a legal thing. You can't get in trouble for sleeping in a public space.
Mm-hmm.
And so the area between like the sidewalk and street that his church is on is public space. And so that is where camping is happening at this public
okay.
space. Okay, so now we can be there. According to Demar, the encampment is already negatively affecting his congregation. I have a great church, but a lot of people would never come to my church if they rode by and seen the situation on the side and sometimes in the front. They would never come to the church because it's like, well, I can't even get into your church. One of the hardest things in this homeless epidemic is that people decided I can urinate wherever and I can defecate wherever. A man on the front of the church just dropped his pants and defecated. So
yeah.
this is now,
uh-huh.
you know, we're acknowledging, for me, it's an acknowledgement of, okay, homeless population, it's complex
right.
on how to best meet
yes.
the needs of this population. What are your thoughts here, Pastor David, as we're
well,
reading here?
Yeah, so my first thought, so I looked up their website. That's
yes.
the Absolute Word Church's website. And I was going to read their mission and their motto, because I think this is interesting. Their mission, to embrace people outside of the four walls to become a part of the One Accord Movement ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And their motto, God's Multicultural Church empowering God's people to move from a movement to a movement, from a moment to a movement, and you have a blood-bought right to be here. To me, it seems like if those are your driving factors, if that's what you're looking about, then you would be doing a lot more work to embrace this community that's living next to
yeah.
you. And figure out how to serve alongside of them and make them a part of your community. If there's no place to use a public restroom, then people are going to go wherever they can go. That's what's going to happen. And that's unfortunate. I'm not saying that that's an okay thing, but what else do you expect that person to do? So how can the church be finding a way to serve? You know, can you open up from certain times to allow people to use a restroom?
Mm-hmm.
Can you partner with the city to start making, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about the story, but it seems like from this article, he's choosing to look at this as an annoyance and a problem rather than
mm-hmm.
this is an opportunity for me to serve people that mm-hmm. God has put literally on my doorstep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that throughout all this, I was on that same page. Like, I definitely agree. I definitely hear you. I'm all about it. But then I really had to like check my own heart and things
mm-hmm.
like this, because it's very easy for me to from the safety of Houston, Texas, to tell Absolute Word Church in Denver, you have a homeless population right there. You need to open up your doors to meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
You should convert your church into a shelter. All these things that you should do. And yet,
what if we pulled into work one day?
Whenever I turn that magnifying glass
right.
back on myself, I have to think, well, sometimes what do the ministries I'm involved in or that I have leadership over, what are some of our core values?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we would say, well, sometimes when push comes to shove, some of our core values is taking care of our own.
Mm-hmm.
And probably every church may have those kind of similar mindsets of like, why do we do our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our elderly ministry? It's, well, to take care of the people that are already within our church walls. And I'm not saying that's bad.
No, sure.
But...
And I don't argue with that either. I would just say I don't think it's inappropriate for us, even from the safety and comfort of Houston, to say this is something that he should not be dealing with in the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a legitimate problem, which it sounds like there are legitimate problems, there are ways that this pastor can address that. But to put this in the newspaper lets anyone who reads this article look at this and say, well, there's another group of Christians
yeah.
just ignoring the one thing they're supposed to do. I mean, it just,
right.
it leaves a sour taste in the mouth, if
mm-hmm.
nothing else. I mean, there are, I don't know, I'm just, maybe it's because I've worked in churches who have genuinely embraced this population around
mm-hmm.
them before and seen how that can work and be vibrant. Maybe it's just because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I don't know. But I'm,
yeah.
I don't have much patience for this particular pastor, bishop person this morning.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that that is absolutely 100% fair based on the things we've said already.
Sure.
But I do think it gives us sometimes a greater self-reflection, I hope, for every congregation or every church member
mm-hmm.
to say, what does my church really exist for? Does it exist
yeah.
for the good of the already believer, or
right.
does it exist for the good of the community around them? Does it exist for the good of a mission statement,
mm-hmm.
of a mission that we're all a part of driving towards? And sometimes those things can get blurry, I can admit. They get blurry.
Right.
And sometimes it's easy to be like, we want to exist for the community around us until it gets really, really hard. Or until we
yeah.
have to sacrifice the things we like doing.
For sure.
Until we have to say, the money we spend on sending our youth on a mission trip is going to be used to spend kids that we're not connected to,
mm-hmm.
to something better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that then that can be a hard statement. Or, you know, the money we're spending to support our ministries can be used now to support a homeless ministry in our community.
Right.
And that's tough.
Sure, but it doesn't take any money for him or a couple of people to start to get to know some of the people in that community.
Sure.
And, you know, building relationships is free
yeah.
and makes a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I feel like you could get a long way just by taking the time to know the people who are camping out and living in front of your church. You know, in my experience, right, you know, once you establish yourself as a safe place where people can connect to, the population self-regulates, or self-polices, if you want to think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and those things stop happening because you become known as someone who's an advocate and a supporter of the situation rather than just
mm-hmm.
another detriment to their existence.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my hope for Absolute Word Church is to find a way to do real powerful ministry within that community that's
sure.
right around them. And my hope for every church is to say, you know, what are the communities that are right in front of you and that you sometimes overlook and sometimes think, well,
mm-hmm.
we've got our own problems to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We've got our own stuff going on inside our building, and we'd love to help, but maybe in the future when we have better resources, better time, better money, better stuff, we can start looking at you guys with a real lens. But right now, you know, we've got our own Bible classes to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that every church has to kind of recognize in themselves. You know,
right.
that it your church cannot solely exist for the sake of its own members.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And how do you do that? How do you exist for the sake of the community around you that may not want to be a part of your community?
Right.
And that's tough. All right. I think that's enough about our Denver bishop here. Pastor
right.
David, let's go through your
yeah,
article.
So let me
yeah.
ask you guys a question. I know you are all both scholars of Catholic tradition and Catholic
yes,
policy.
For sure. No.
I know you spend hours
you
at home reflecting on that. were you aware that we currently have two popes?
Yeah. I mean, I know we
what?
Did not have a pope.
She was not.
the previous pope did not die.
Did not die, right.
He retired, in a sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
he renounced his position as
yeah.
pope. And so Pope Benedict... this would have been back in, what, 2015,
16? Yeah, it's relatively modern history.
Yeah. So Pope Benedict became Pope after Pope John Paul under some... am I getting that right? John Paul II.
John Paul II, sure.
I mean, we're not Pope people. So Pope Benedict became Pope under some controversy. And under his time as Pope, I don't know if it's called a reign or not, but under his time as Pope... is when a lot of scandals around priestly abuse of children and things like that started coming forward. And so after a time, he came to the conclusion that he could no longer serve as Pope, that it was a detriment to the church for him to serve as Pope.
Okay.
And so he renounced his position and said at the time that he was going to basically retire to a mountain home thing and just stay there and remain quiet and not cause any problems. That was just going to be his plan until he died.
But he's still the Pope, right?
Well, he renounced his position.
Right, so that means he's not the Pope.
Right.
So how do we have two popes?
Well, because you're a pope for life, so can you renounce the position as a pope?
Well, he did. I don't know.
So that's the Catholic question, right? The Catholic question
sure.
is, if God ordains you as pope, can you renounce that position? Even if you stop serving in that capacity, has God removed that capacity from you to be pope?
It's an interesting question
that
to do smarter
with this,
minds
right.
than us can solve.
Right.
I don't know about smarter,
I have no idea.
More Catholic minds. How about that?
I'll say smarter.
So
I don't care.
A new pope was elected, our current pope, Pope Francis. And so now Pope Francis has been doing a lot of great work. Pope Francis comes out of South America. That's where he was working before he became pope. Has done a lot of really interesting work around the poor and around equal rights for refugees and things like that throughout the world. And has also, in recent years, started throwing out possible ways in which some traditional church teachings, particularly around celibacy
mm-hmm.
For priests, might be loosened. And so one thing that's being discussed is the possibility of loosening restrictions around celibacy for priests who are serving in very deserted areas of the Amazon. That's one area that's being discussed. And so now, Pope Benedict has written a book. He's 92 years old, and the headline here says, "Retired ex-Pope Benedict undercuts Francis on priests and celibacy. Retired Pope Benedict has issued a passionate defense of priestly celibacy, saying he cannot remain silent as his successor, Pope Francis, considers easing the prohibition on married men serving as priests." So here, Katie, comes to your point. If you, as Pope, have the ability to speak as the voice of God, which... we believe, or not we, Catholics believe that popes do.
But now there's two voices of God.
Right. And they disagree.
Which one isn't the right one?
There are two voices that are speaking for God that disagree, which is problematic. Now, this is not a precise understanding of Catholic doctrine.
Yeah, I don't believe every word they say.
Right. Not
yes,
yeah,
this is the words of God. It's specific announcements from like a specific
right.
position.
But their voice... to the
sure.
common person, often carries
yeah.
that sort of way, even if it's not a technical. And so one of the things they wrote here, we can say, this is Latin, celere non possum, which I'm pretty sure means possums cannot remain silent.
It means possums fly on JetBlue. Brings Entura home.
we can say, I cannot remain silent. Benedict and another author, whose last name is Sarah, wrote in a joint introduction to their book, according to excerpts released by the French Daily Newspaper, Benedict also wrote that he believes celibacy carries great significance and is truly essential as a priest's path to God becomes the foundation of his life. Now, my question for us is less about priestly celibacy, because I'm married and we're all Lutherans, so I don't think we care as much about priestly celibacy.
And
though it's an interesting...
The Catholic Church has had married priests before.
Yep.
It is possible.
Yeah, has had married priests before. Didn't require celibacy until 500s? Maybe even later than that. It
yeah.
might have been like 10 or 1100s before that was a thing that was like required of priests.
And I believe if you are an Anglican married priest
mm-hmm.
and you convert to Catholicism, you can become a priest and not
mm-hmm.
to renounce
yeah.
your marriage. So,
right.
so there are married Catholic priests.
Right, so that,
yeah.
less of my concern.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, because I don't really care. That's just
yeah.
their issue. I can figure it out. But here's my question. How do we as the church and as people of faith handle situations where we have two seemingly diametrically opposed voices, both claiming authority.
Mm-hmm.
And how does the church move through that? Because I think this is where we get ourselves into a lot of disputes and a lot of issues within general context, is that we make these mountains out of these little issues, and then we say, well, you know, to quote Paul, I guess I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to this, and then we start fighting with one another
sure.
rather than seeking common ground. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how we deal with that.
Well, I mean, probably in a similar vein, most churches are maybe not on the issue of papal celibacy, you know, but...
I definitely think popes should be celibate.
we
don't want them breeding little baby popes. We don't
want I don't want a little baby pope. I think they're cute. Like a little baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, yeah.
He's like a little baby
get him in the
pope.
Little robe with the little pope hat, the little red pope shoes.
That'd be really cute. I think I'd be really... Maybe Timmy will go as little baby Pope for Halloween.
You can put him in a little, one of those little cars, make it into a little Pope mobile.
Sure. Like a Playmobil into a Pope mobile.
Yes, that's awesome. That is awesome.
But certainly, I mean, the ELCA has had these similar battles of like church tradition versus modern understanding of the world, and they come into conflict sometimes over, you know, we can say some conflicts over making females pastor, LGBTQ issues, you know, these big things that were major milestone points for the vast majority of Christendom and have shifted over the last, you know, century, you know, maybe even and less in some issues, and how do we make sense of this? How do you make sense of church tradition versus modern culture? What happens when they collide?
Yeah,
and sometimes voices of the church can be on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And that, to go along with that, no one's going to not be offended. Someone is always going to be upset with the decision that a certain church makes one way or the other. Because nobody, not everybody agrees on everything. Right?
See, here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'll let you finish.
No, continue.
Okay, so up until, this isn't even completely true, up until Luther, at least within the Roman Catholic Church, everybody, I mean, there was a teaching. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of those teachings we think were wrong, but we think that because we're on the side that split.
Right.
Right? And so there's an element, particularly within the Catholic Church, that to have these voices, you know, disagreeing with one another at such a high level, you know, maybe it's not quite the same as, you know, the voice of God disagreeing with itself, but to have these voices at such a high level so openly disagreeing with one another is alarming, I think, for people.
Sure.
And I think we're doing ourselves a huge disservice when we don't work to have these conversations in a more meaningful and faithful way. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, there are always going to be elements of disagreeing, but how do we put those disagreements aside to find the things that unify us in Christ, right? I mean,
instead of writing a book in protest and publishing it, and then now it's a news article, and now it's this big, huge thing.
In fairness to Pope Benedict, we don't know if there were conversations or not.
True.
We know nothing about their relationship as the two popes.
And I'm speaking generically, not necessarily about that.
Yeah. We don't know how they think. And also, at some point, and whether this is not the line in the sand that I would have over... Can priests marry in the Amazon? That's not exactly where I am. But probably at some point, sometimes Christians do have a line in the sand of what constitute enough that we look at one another and say, I'm not entirely sure we can still be on the same page.
Right.
So this could be maybe for many people in the ELCA, you know, there are people in our church body that support women's ordination and people on our church body that do not.
Yeah.
And they say that's just not the line in the sand that does those things. Same with LGBTQ issues. You know, if there was a line in the sand, you know, if the church is saying, you know, or a church is saying salvation can come through forms other than Jesus Christ, that might be a line in the sand for me personally. And I would have to speak out against that and say, I disagree. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything else that has been said by other members of our church body, but that would be said, this is where I can no longer stay silent on these things. Or my point of view needs to be said. And I can't just say, well, we can still worship the same Christ even if we disagree over minor infractions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for Pope Benedict, this is no longer a minor infraction. This is a 1,500 years in the making church tradition, and for him, maybe it's saying this should not change.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of who we are as a Catholic Church, and to sacrifice these aspects of our faith for modern sensibilities does not make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that every church body has to deal with that on some level.
Right.
Yeah. So. For me, maybe figuring out, like, well, what are those lines in the sand is much harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I guess my issue is that I think we too quickly draw the line in the sand.
Sure.
I think we're too quick to say, this is it, rather than taking a real look at the line and saying, is this actually where I want the line to be?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just too quick to say, this is it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can exist from both sides, from also traditionalists and more modernists, both sides are very quick to say this is where we need to be right now. One of the things, you know, I've looked at for us to talk about again, the Methodist Church is splitting again. You know, like we talked about this last year around this time. They voted, they chose to stay together, and that lasted less than a year.
Yeah.
And now, due to LGBTQ issues, the conservative members of the church are splitting away to form a new branch of the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And in all fairness to them, it seems like it's an amicable split between both sides of the United States church, maybe
mm-hmm.
not of the global church. I,
right.
I have less knowledge of that, but at least they're saying it's an amicable split.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. So church is split. This is not the first time a church is split.
Yeah.
Right.
It will not be the last time the church splits.
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, we are split from our conservative brothers and sisters in the Lutheran church who are more traditionalists than the ELCA.
Yeah.
And they're split from the even more conservative, you know, branches of the Lutheran Church.
Do you all know the joke about the guy who was stranded on the desert island?
I do. But go ahead and say it.
No.
So he's stranded on a desert island and shows up to rescue him. And he's like, oh, well, here, let me show you around. It's been there for years. And he's like, well, you know, here's the restaurant that I built for myself. There's my shelter that I lived in. There's the fitness club that I built. He's like, oh, and down here's the church that I used to go to. I'm like, oh, that's great. What's that building over there? He's like, oh, that's my old church.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, and churches will split over not even theological or traditional issues, over relatively minor issues.
Carpet color,
coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Should you have a cross or crucifix?
Uh-huh.
These are things that
right.
people have drawn the line in the sand on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I will definitely agree with you, Pastor David, that I think many of these things do not matter,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for us. And by drawing the line in the sands or having Christians show us all these things that do not matter, now when it's time to matter,
right.
that's when it kind of loses its power and punch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm sure, you know, our conservative Methodist church that's breaking away, for them, LGBTQ issues are a major issue for both sides. This is their line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot see eye to eye any longer on this issue. And so now what happens is an interesting question. And for them, it's an amicable split.
Yeah.
You know, for many churches, it was not an amicable split.
Right.
It was a brutal, bloody split.
Yep.
And bloody is not hyperbole for parts of a church history.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a movie, Two Popes.
That was going to be my recommendation.
Oh.
Are we to recommendation time?
Yeah, why not?
All right. So I was going to make a recommendation. So if you're on Netflix, there's a movie called The Two Popes.
Oh.
And it's about the relationship between Pope Benedict and Pope Francis.
It's like a buddy cop comedy here. You
know, that's
like,
right. Yeah, they're going on the land.
One's the grizzled veteran. The other one plays by his own rules.
Yeah, that's not it. It's definitely dramatized. It's they say, you know, based on real events, but it's definitely been dramatized a little bit. But it's Anthony Hopkins plays Pope Benedict, and I forget the guy's name. He's the old guy from Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Anyway, I really like him as an actor as well, and he plays Bishop Gregorio at the time, who becomes Pope Francis. I highly recommend it. It's a really interesting...
So this is about these popes?
Yeah, it's about these two popes.
Okay.
It's actually about the process of Pope Benedict becoming pope, and then kind of the weeks and time leading up to Pope Francis becoming pope. That's what it's about.
It's also got some couple Oscar noms,
mm-hmm.
I saw.
Yeah. It's very well acted, very well written. It's not like an action comedy thriller, but it's a very interesting story.
That's
and some
cool.
really some really beautiful theology in it
cool.
From both sides. And, you know, I will just say, you know, from the start, it's really easy to hate Pope Benedict. Like, he's kind of made out to be the bad guy. But you kind of come to a place at the end where you're like, no, I get this.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really
interesting.
It's beautiful. So if you've got 2 hours, if you need to hold a sick child for a while, or, you know, if you just want a good movie.
Two Popes.
The Two Popes on Netflix.
Okay.
I've not seen many of the Oscar-nominated movies this year.
I don't even know what nominated.
Just came out. Just came out.
I
like that
idea.
Stuff, so I'm more into it. But yeah, there you go.
I heard that women got snubbed.
Women did get snubbed. And that's an interesting question, you know,
yeah.
of why and how those things happen. But
who knows? Well, yeah. I'm sure someone knows, but not me, because I don't care.
I'm not sure it's one person pulling the no women lever in the Oscars. You know, it's probably more
Mr. Oscar himself.
Mr. Oscar.
Stuff there.
The Grouch. has got his who can be... My computer is...
No, that's our sound system.
Oh, that's our sound system.
Right.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's probably about time to wrap up.
That's our wrap-up.
We're being played off. Like, speaking of the Oscars, we're being played off the stage.
All right, let's get out of here.
Wrap it up.
Where can you find us?
Hey, if you liked what you heard, or even if you didn't, you can be sure to share it out with all of your friends, neighbors, family. If you know any popes, let them listen to it. I'm sure they'd love to give this a listen. Possums are welcome on the podcast.
Yes, we're surrounded by possums.
Yes, absolutely. So all of them are welcome. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever delectably and delightfully selected podcasts are available.
Wherever fine podcasts are played. We're there.
Places. Yep.
We're there. Think of the biggest podcast. We're on the same platforms as them. Practically equivalents.
Yeah, basically the same thing. If they equal this, then we equal that. We equal them.
Yeah.
That's math.
That is math. Katie, have a fun time in Disneyland.
Oh, we will.
I'm very jealous. I want to go to Star Wars Land so badly.
I'm not jealous.
I am.
I hope you have a great time, but I'm not jealous.
I love theme parks. I love Disney. And I love Star Wars. So it's going to be really fun. We can't wait to hear about it when you get back.
I love working and hate fun.
Okay, well.
Speaking as somebody who works with them, that's true. Just kidding. We have a lot of fun here together.
Rude.
All right, have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.